Since May, State Comptroller Thomas P. DiNapoli has been the recurring bearer of bad news, offering monthly confirmation of the economic fallout from the efforts to stop the spread of the pandemic. And the Comptroller joins us now to assess the latest financial figures from his office, efforts to make up lost tax revenue, and much more. Welcome back to the show, Comptroller.
Dave, great to be back with you. And I'm sorry we don't have one of those months where we have great news. We're still certainly in a very challenged position when we talk about revenue coming to the state and certainly revenue for our local governments as well.
Well, I don't think we blame you personally for it.
Thank you for that.
So what were some of the highlights, or more appropriately, I guess, lowlights from the tax and spending figures you recently released for the month of August?
Well, certainly we're still challenged on the revenue side in terms of personal income tax collections, sales tax collections as well. I guess somewhat balancing that, we also have seen spending under control in that it's coming in certainly less than a comparable time frame last year. And I think that's the challenge that the division of the budget has and the executive has in trying to keep us solvent through a time of diminished revenue and continued expectation, hope that we will get additional support from Washington. Because without that, these withholding of payments that we've all been reading about could in fact turn from a delay to an actual cut. And obviously that would create complications to other levels of government.
Well, you mentioned the withholdings that we are, reading about. And it is,
yeah.
We read about them in media reports because we hear about them from the groups that are being affected, the local governments that are getting cut off. What does the August cash report tell us about the efforts by the governor to manage the state's cash flow? Where do you guys see him, delaying payments or withholding payments specifically?
Well, payments to local governments, some of the money for counties and some of the education monies, some of the money for nonprofits and other entities that have contracts with the state for certain services. So it's really dependent upon, the calendar in which one of those payments have come forward. So you're talking now about $2 billion or so. But the governor has made clear that at this point it is a delay and a reduction, when some of these payments have been a 20% reduction, but a delayed amount of payment. So it is not, as some folks are reading it, it is not an outright cut. The challenge is if we don't get that additional help from Washington, if there's not a significant turnaround in revenues coming from the economy, which I don't think anybody's expecting given the pandemic is still going on, those delays and those reductions for now could turn into permanent cuts, and that's really, I think, the fear that our local governments and the nonprofits have. They're having a hard enough time not getting the money when they expected. If they're not going to get the money at all this year, that creates a whole other problem for them.
So school districts were worried about a 20% cut to a big state aid payment due this month and resulting in some actually eliminating hundreds of positions in anticipation. The governor's office has since come out and said the payment will be made in full. So looking ahead, to your September cash report, will we have the cash on hand to pay this bill, and will we have to cut other areas in order to afford it?
No, I mean, we do have the cash on hand. The real challenge that we have is projecting forward, mm-hmm. Going through the end of the year. And I know it can be painful at times, but I think the Division of Budget understands the challenge, and so they are managing the cash, and they understand the importance of that school aid payment. And I think it was good news for the schools that they're going to be kept whole on that payment. What that will mean for down the road, is still to be determined. So that will not... We have the money to deal with that. That's not going to be an issue.
We have another big school aid payment due in December, forecasting even more, further down the road, putting your Carnac the Magnificent hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll be able to have the cash to make that payment in full?
I think it's way too soon to tell. And I think that, truly by December, if we're still talking about whether or not we're getting help from Washington, by December, you've only got, 3 more months after
yeah.
that before the fiscal year ends. And if you're going to have to do a cut, the impact of that it becomes really very challenging if you only got a couple of months left in your budget to close it out. So if we don't get some signal from Washington that there's going to be more help, you know, at this point, again, I can't speak for the Division of Budget. This is their call. But it may not be as easy to make that payment in December as it is for us to do it in September.
Right now, we're looking at about 6 months left in the fiscal year. Do you have any idea how much we need to cut in state spending for the remainder of the year? And would it have been easier if we had begun taking more drastic spending cuts for the first 6 months as well to sort of smooth out this pain?
I mean, you could argue that, but you could also argue that because so much of the state budget ends up being money that's sent back to localities in the form of the local assistance spending, by doing the more aggressive cutting earlier, what you really do then is just transfer the shortfall to local governments. Mm-hmm. Local governments have even fewer revenue sources than we have at the state level. And if you're talking about the response to the pandemic, right? You look at the county level, what county officials and the county health departments really are on the front lines of the public health crisis. Certainly our local governments are very focused on trying to get their local economies going again. So, you know, to say how terrific we're balancing the state budget and creating even bigger holes than they already have at the local level, you know, really just shifts the problem. It doesn't really address it. And that's why I think the governor has appropriately been focused on pressing our congressional delegation, and they've been terrific on a bipartisan basis, to press their leadership in Washington, especially, you know, frankly, on the Senate side, on the Republican side, to say that whatever iteration of stimulus and relief next comes from Washington, and there will be something at some point, it must include direct aid to states so that we can balance our budget, repair the hole from the economic damage of COVID-19, and also for localities, because they have their own damage in terms of sales tax being down, in some cases property taxpayers because they've been laid off and aren't working, or their small businesses are closed. They're not able to make those payments. Real estate transactions not happening in many parts of the state at the same level. I mean, the ripple effect in terms of the economic damage and the shortfall of revenues is significant. And the only way really to plug that is more help from Washington. If you don't have that, you have the very stark options: cutting services and programs at a time that frankly doesn't make sense, borrowing beyond what we already have authorized in terms of additional borrowing, which runs the risk of turning into deficit financing and encumbering future generations of taxpayers, or raising taxes. You know, again, problematic issue in terms of you know, how you do that, what would be the smart way to do that, if there is a smart way to do it in the middle of a fiscal and public health crisis. So it does get back to that additional help from Washington. That really is essential.
Should New York rule out raising taxes on millionaires?
Well, look, I mean, at the end of the day, if we are really in a crisis position where the economy, I mean, let's really play it out. Let's not just talk about, let's say we don't get more help from Washington. What if we have in New York a reinfection, God forbid? And what if we have to go backwards and start reclosing rather than reopening the economy, and you would see revenue go down even further? I mean, look, if we really reach a crisis point, all options, you know, are going to be on the table. But to me, the more advantageous solution for all, and by the way, not just in New York, but really every state, every locality in the country is facing some of the same issues, depending, you know, on the degree of infection that they're having. And obviously, New York is doing better right now than many other states. But this is in the national interest to repair the economic damage, the revenue shortfall that states, not just New York, localities, not just our own localities in New York State are facing. That, to me, is the solution that makes the most sense. If that doesn't happen, we're back to one of those three options, or maybe some combination of the three. And that'll be the policy choice the governor and the legislature will have to make.
But at what time? I mean, we were talking about December and how there's only 3 months left in the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, there's 6 months left in the calendar. From mm-hmm. your perspective, when does it make sense to draw the line? When do you have to say, you know, I don't think D.C.'s coming to the rescue anymore?
Well, you know, hope springs eternal that they will. And you know, so let's say we decide, you know, tomorrow's the deadline. Mm-hmm. You know, for us to now make the decision to, you know, for the state's books to be balanced, to not do that September payment for schools or reduce it significantly, to not provide the other assistance to counties, towns, and villages that they've been expecting, you know, what does that really gain? You know, so you balance the state budget and you create a bigger hole at the local level that impacts, you know, services, property taxpayers, and so on. So I don't think there is a magic date. And I think as long as there still is a debate in Washington about providing more aid, I think we should hold out for as long as we can. And for now, we could still hold out. Again, the Division of Budget is managing the cash flow. We're solvent. You know, we're able to make that school aid payment. It's going to get tighter as time goes on. But there's not, from my perspective, with what we know in the controller's office, and we're not the Division of Budget, we don't have a drop-dead date. They may have a drop-dead date. You'd have to ask them about that. But I think for now, we can certainly continue, as we're doing, monitor very carefully the revenue and the spending, share that information with the public and with the elected officials. And certainly, you know, continued updates from the Division of Budget are helpful for us to understand where we stand.
The State Association of Counties has proposed temporarily increasing sales taxes a point to help out the state and counties. Do you think that's a good move in this situation?
You know, again, I think if you're going to look at tax increases, you have to look at the array of tax increases. You know, some have been talking about an additional surcharge on upper-income New Yorkers. Sales tax increase is what gasoline tax, you know, has been another one floated. There are different options that can be looked at. I wouldn't pick and choose. I think what you have to look at is, you know, what would be the revenue that would be raised and what would the revenue be used for.
So what would be the way to judge them, though? Is it just about what brings the most money in, or is it about its overall effect on the economy or something else?
Well, it should be a combination of those. It should be how much money would be raised. You know, will it be a tax that will be counterproductive in terms of where the economy is at right now, given how fragile it is in many, many regions of the state? And what do you do with the money? Does that money balance the state books? Does some of that circulate back to the local governments? If you're going to raise the sales tax, do you do a sharing of X percentage to the state, X percentage to the, you know, to the county? If the county gets a chunk, are they going to share it with the cities and the towns and the villages? And the, you know, so there's a lot there's a lot that would have to be weighed and considered.
Well, we've been speaking with Long Island's favorite son, State Comptroller Thomas P. DiNapoli. Comptroller, thank you so much for making the time.
Dave, thank you. Stay well.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.